My name is Bertie, and I work with Outreach Training Center. Our goal is to help churches to answer the Muslims' questions, because we have them in abundance here in Greater Washington, D.C. area. Do you know the statistics saying how many Muslims in our area? Do you remember? I said it from this pulpit before. If anybody remember, it's fascinating. We have 250,000 Muslims in Greater Washington, D.C. area. 220,000 is the statistics of 2007. They are not here to destroy you. They are not here to be enemies. They are here, so it is your mission. We're speaking about missions this few weeks. And part of your mission is the foreigners who live close by. I have somebody came to the table after the first service, and he said to me, "Hey, I have a Saudi family came next to my door. I don't know what to do with them. Could you tell me?" I said to him, "Okay, send me an email. Let us fix an appointment and talk about it." I cannot speak about it in 1 second. The mission field is in our doorsteps, isn't it? We are trying to help the church to do that. But also, I am part of UTAN. I am a missionary, and Capital Baptist Church is my sending church. And my board of mission is Outreach to Asia Nationals, UTAN. Next week you will hear the UTAN director from here, maybe giving a report also because of, before he will speak. Pastor Steve asked me to give a report about our last mission trip. We're in the Middle East. I know that I will mention the name of the country by mistake. For security reasons, I don't like to mention the name of the country. But many of you here, they know the name of the country already. But because I will show faces of people, I don't like to mention the name of the country. We traveled to the Middle East, and the Middle East is in turmoil. I traveled with my wife. First, we traveled with my wife and Chris. Dr. Chris, we went to this country. We visited some places. They left me there for another week. I visited some places where Paul was there also, where the disciples of Jesus were there. You know, the Middle East, Jesus was walking in the streets of Jerusalem and Galilee and Palestine. And the disciples continued to walk, and they went to Asia Minor, they went to North Africa. Fascinating to see these places. And I decided to visit the refugees. Now, every partially peaceful country in the Middle East has refugees. Do you know there is no refugees in Libya, for example? Refugees will go to Libya, they will slaughter their neck, isn't it? You know that. It is published over TVs. But the country we went to, they have more than 1.5 million Syrian refugees. And more than another 2 million Iraqi refugees. So I hear that there is small groups of refugees meeting in homes. So I decided to go and visit them. We visited them, and the one who visited with me was a local pastor from the area there. And he said, "Dr. Bertie, listen. Especially when we visited the group of 25 people, all of them were Kurdish. All of them were Muslim convert. They meet once or twice per week to do Bible studies. They don't have a teacher to teach them. Just they came to know Christ with different ways. Some of them by visions, by dreams, or by other people explaining the gospel to them. But nobody disciples them at all. So they are confused about their faith. But they continue to meet. They go and watch Christian channels, TVs, and they come and share with one another." It's fascinating to see. It looks like the early church movement. And he said, "Listen, Dr. Bertie, when I attend your class last year, I go to teach in this country every year. It changed my life. Could we invite these refugees to the class?" I said, okay, when we go back home, let us talk with the leader of the school. I went, and the leader of the school accepted us to put the students, our refugee people there. He has between 10 to 12 students every year. All of them are Muslim convert, but we told him we'll bring the others. We were budgeting for, he said, but I don't have budget. So we said, okay, the Lord will raise the money. I came back, I sent my email, and the Lord raised the money to support 35 people. Fascinating. But when I went to the class, there were 85 people. What is the story? The story is fascinating. Here we go. This is the lecture room. When I went there, and I discovered that when he sent the invitation out, he was opting for 35 people, but 55 people sent asking to come. When they came, something strange happened. They brought their Muslim friends with them. I am teaching a Bible school. I am teaching in a Bible school. This is a discipleship class. And here we go. I stood up and there's one lady with hijab. And the others brought their Muslim friends with them. And they told me the day before that some Muslims are here. I said, Lord, what I can do? I will change the schedule. I will change the program. And it was clear, no, continue as you are. I tell you, I have story after story to tell. I don't know how many stories would you like to hear. I will tell one or two or three. But if you like to listen to more, hey, senior people, are you here? If you will invite me again, I will tell more stories in the senior class. I tell you, in my newsletter, for those who are receiving my email, I wrote a verse from the Bible. And all those who are appointed by God for eternal lives, they received the Lord in this room. Muslims and nominal Christians. It was a surprise to teach a discipleship program and the people accepted the Lord. I can tell you a story. I will start with a story. I have a video for it. But let me go with the slides. Before the end, I will show you the video. Here's the first story. Unfortunately, it's a very sad story. This is after one of the lectures. This is my wife. Prayer started, and this is my wife. Praying with three young ladies with other women came around. And this is their father, who is sitting here, and people are praying with him. What is the story of this man? This man, he came to know Christ when he ran away from his country because of the war. He ran away from his country to this new country to start a home there. He brought all his life savings, everything, his inheritance, everything with him. He stayed the 2 years, the money. He is not allowed to work. He is a refugee. He's waiting to move to another country like U.S. or European country through the United Nations. When the money finished, he don't know how to feed his family, his wife, and three girls and one boy. So he decided to go back to Iraq. His family is from Karbala, from Fallujah, in the south, Shia. He is a Sunni. But they came to know the Lord in the foreign country. They came to know the Lord, they believe in God, in Jesus, and they were baptized. When they go home, his wife has a digital album for pictures with her. And she said, I will go to visit my family. She went to visit her family. And they liked to see their home back when they went for 2 years. What? So they began just to open. She said, okay, you can see it if I have it. And she didn't notice something. Among the pictures is her picture of, could you imagine, could you guess, her baptism. Do you know how the family reacted? They asked her to to denounce the name of Jesus. She refused. They told her, we'll give you 3 days to repent. And she said to them, not 3 days, not 3 weeks, not 3 months, not 3 years, forever. I will not deny Jesus. She said, repent and say the Shahada, the Muslim creed. She refused. Her brother went inside. He brought his machine gun. Now, in this country, the machine gun is part of... He brought the machine gun and he shoots her. He killed her. Her family back in Baghdad don't know. They carried the body. They traveled to her family in Baghdad. They knocked the door and they threw the body in front of the 4 children and their father. In 2 days, they came back with their machine gun, tried to kill the rest of the family. They succeeded to run away, and the church got them and brought them back. And they were with us in the conference. It was a sad story. Following Jesus is not cheap. I tell you, it is not cheap in reality. You took salvation free because it's a new creation. You cannot buy a new creation. You cannot afford the new creation. You need to have it by grace only. But Christian life is costly. They didn't teach that from the pulpit of countries like America because people are not interested to pay the price. But we thank the Lord for many missionaries who are paying the price. This is the story of this young lady. She ran away from her country few hours before her family decided to kill her. She decided, she came to know the Lord through the internet connection. And her family didn't notice what is happening. She speak over the Facebook for new technology. And she asked some Christians for one reason or another questions. And they tried to answer. She came to know the Lord. When Ramadan came, it was very close, last month. When Ramadan came, she was not fasting. Why are you not fasting? And she said, I will not fast again in my life for Ramadan. They told her, are you kafir? Are you murtad? Are you apostate? You left your faith? And her father was an imam. And the family decided to kill her because they know that she became a Christian. She ran away. And when she ran away, she came to the conference. They brought her to the conference. And in the conference, something unique happened. She learned what it means, Christianity. She accepted Jesus because of dream. She accepted Jesus because the people told her about him. But she didn't understand what it means to be Father and Son and Holy Spirit. What does that mean? How God will be three? How God will be three and one at the same time? What it means to be saved? I am saved. She is happy that she is saved, but she didn't understand the core issue of salvation. When she came to the class, we are baptizing here in the last day of the conference. She gave a testimony, but the testimony is in Arabic, and I found it strange to put a testimony in Arabic to people who cannot hear Arabic, okay. What she is saying in her testimony, she said, yes, I hate the man who was speaking to me on the internet because he is kafir, he is infidel. But in few weeks, I came to know the Lord. And then she started to comment, but now, after this conference, I know that he was not infidel at all. He believed in God. I understood what it means. Father and the Son. It's very important to explain our faith to the Muslims using their terminology, bringing them to the gospel. And this is the class I teach. I taught many classes in this church. Some of you attended my classes. But please, if you have another class about Muslim evangelism, please try to join us and listen to the answer. What it means that Jesus is God. What it means if he is God or the Son of God? What it means that God will go to the cross? It's crazy. Do you believe that God, the sovereign God, the creator of heavens and earth, will go to the cross and die. Why? One Muslim told me one day, he can throw all this creation away and create a new creation from the beginning. And I said to him, that is exactly what happened. And this is part of my sermon today. Fascinating. I tell you, I like to cut the story short and stop here. But this is in the church. Very tiny, small house. It looks like a house, but it is recognized by the government of this city as a church. This is the testimony of the man who is heading the school I was teaching at. It was very unique. This time, the anointing, grace, power of God gave you to minister not only to our school, but to many more from the refugee communities in all over the country. It is so clear to me and the others. Souls were saved because of your preaching. Many were baptized. Praise God. Active participation of Sister Salwa was effective, especially with the many women seekers. God only knows the lasting fruits of her ministry. But two Muslims returned back without Jesus. A lady with head cover and her husband. Please remember them and pray for them. Pray for the people in the Middle East. If you'd like to know more, please go and talk to my wife. She will be here by the side. And please contact us. Take our email. Contact us. And we are willing to speak to you more about Muslim evangelism. The sermon today. This is all long, long, long introduction. And I have to speak now. This is the handout. Huh? Pastor Steve shining. Shine. Pastor Steve asked me to put this thing together, but I failed to follow it while I'm preaching in the first service. I was confused between it. You know, my students at the CBBI, did you know the CBBI? Commercial for a while. Okay? Our Bible college here every Monday evening, I teach Old Testament. And they have materials and fill in the spaces and everything also. So students, I never follow it. Isn't it? It confused me to be very organized like that. Okay, therefore. The word therefore. And shining by worship. Pastor Steve called it worship. And I like to redefine to you the word worship. You know, we're singing the heart of worship. What is the heart of worship? It's not coming to Sunday to the church. No. Sunday is coming. The church is in worship. But I like to speak about worship from another point of view. I like, if it was left to me, shine by prayers. By building relation with God. And you will find in the slides the spaces to fill in the spaces. But I like to read the verse first. But we all, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Are you losing heart in your spiritual life? Are you a failure many times in your spiritual life? You feel, it doesn't work with me. Some people are speaking about Jesus in a very special way, but not me. I am a failure. I am losing heart. In his conclusion, this therefore is the conclusion, isn't it? In his conclusion, Paul is giving the solution for your spiritual life. If you feel that you are a failure in your spiritual life, You have questions about God and there is no answer for it. You have question about your sin and there is no answer for it. You have questions about your eternity and you have no answer for it. Maybe you are here today because you like to know the way. Is Christianity is the real way? Yes, for sure, yes, we know that. But yes, because others showing themselves that they are not the way at all. Killing and destruction is not a way of God. God's intention, I like to tell you, God's intention is you. To understand these two verses, I need to go back to the background. But first, the story of the mirror is a problem here. And I brought this quotation to explain it. Reflecting the glory of God. Reflecting the glory of God. Do you know our God is glorious? He is dwelling in brightness beyond human ability to understand or to see. That's why when we will go and see the background, I'll speak about the reflection soon. The background here, the background of the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you like to put the background there, is speaking about the old covenant. The background is speaking about the story of Moses in chapter 34 of the book of Exodus. And chapter 34 of the book of Exodus is speaking about Moses coming back from being with God. And if you are reading the verse with me, believe, I like to circle the two words, shone, the shining. And this man came down from the mountain carrying two tablets of stones with God's law and instructions. And he don't know that his face was shining. And the people of Israel looked to him and they were frightened from him. And they suggested that to put a veil in his face. So the shining of the face of Moses will not frighten them anymore. This is the old covenant. Why Moses' face was shining? The second word I like you to circle, because he was talking with God. He talked with him. And him here is with God. He talked with God, and if you read in the chapter before, chapter 33, verse 11, you will find him that he was accustomed after that. Accustomed to speak to God, and it is written, face to face, as a man is speaking to his friend. And he accustomed to enter the presence of the Lord, and to speak with God. And every time he will speak with God, he will come out with the shining face. And because of that, they covered him with a veil. So this Moses here in the left hand side, shining, and here in the right hand side, putting veil in his face. Why they put the veil in his face, we'll see. So it is old covenant. One man with a shining face brought a stone written in it the law of God. And in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, earlier in the chapter, Paul called this law of God the law of death. And after a while, he called it the law of condemnation. And you will find Pastor Dirk in his handout, the Bible study, he quoted this question. Why it is called the law of death? Do you know why? Because the glory of God was fading away from his face when he returned back to the people. And the glory of God supposed not to fade away. It is the glory of God. That's why they cover his face. They like, if you like to see the glory of God, it's supposed not to fade away. But the Old Testament, Moses is a human being. Because he is a human being, he reflects the glory of God for how long? For a while. But because of his deaf nature, he cannot catch the glory of God forever. That's why Moses passed away. This is the covenant of death. Because the mediator of covenant died. He passed away. Are you following me? Moses was the mediator of the covenant. The covenant now, the Old Testament covenant, has no mediator. The mediator passed away. That's why Paul called it the law of death. Because the glory was fading away. So they said, the glory of God cannot fade away. Cover it, cover it, cover it. The story, one man, only one man. And it stayed in the Old Testament forever like that. Okay? One man, once per year. Oh, Moses was mediator every day going to the presence of the Lord. When he comes to enter the presence of the Lord, what he will do? He will remove the veil. He will watch God, God's glory reflect in his face. He come out with God shining on him. It turned to be one man again also. But this man, once per year, once per year will enter the Holy of Holiness. Beyond the curtain that separates once per year. And inside the Holy of Holiness they have, what is that? The Ark of Covenant. And the cherubim there, the angels there, the statue there. And when he entered, with the blood, not without the blood, with the blood of the animals, he will sprinkle the blood in the cover of the covenant. And when God accepts and forgives their sins, God will shine there. We never hear that the high priest went out shining. At least he went out alive. That means God accepted the sacrifice. What is the story in the New Testament? God said this testament is temporary. Is a symbol only to the original. What was the original? So I hope that you succeeded to fill the spaces from the slides. The original covenant prophesied by Ezekiel. Ezekiel the prophet came 540 years before Christ. And he wrote this covenant. Ezekiel was the prophet of the exile. Ezekiel was in Babylon actually when he prophesied. And all he's talking about the temple, when you read the book of Ezekiel, is speaking about something will happen because the temple was destroyed. There was no presence of God at all. The presence of God vanished from Judea. It is not there after the exile. They destroyed the temple and they destroyed the Holy of Holiness. Nobody take blood and enter the Holy of Holiness. Ezekiel began to cry to the Lord and the Lord began to explain to him. I will give you a new covenant. What is this new covenant? A new heart. A new heart. I will give you a new heart in this covenant. I will remove the heart of stone and plant in you a heart of flesh. I will give you a new spirit. I tell you, this is an amazing secret that was fulfilled in Jesus. Because the Spirit of God cannot dwell in a dead human being. You are dead by nature. My nature was death. God in His mercy and power decided to do a miracle in my heart. If it doesn't happen in your heart, I hope that it will happen today. He will remove your stony heart and give you a new heart, flesh, heart of flesh inside you. This heart of flesh is, notice, okay, let us continue the verse. Put a new heart and put a new spirit within you, a new spirit. So I have this new spirit, the New Testament call it new creation. Who is the source of the new spirit? Listen to this verse, fascinating verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think it is verse 50. 15, no, verse 30, 35. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. Because the first Adam the first Adam, became a living being. But the second Adam from heaven became what? If anybody knows this verse, life-giving spirit. I will tell you the story. When God created Adam, He didn't put His spirit in him. No, no, no. Because the spirit of God will never fail and will never die. Do you know what? The Bible is very precise in using the language. It is the word of God, He said. And He breathed in him. Anybody remember from the book of Genesis? Chapter 2 and 3. He breathed in him. He made Adam. And he breathed in him what? Breath of life. This is human spirit. When Adam fell, his human spirit failed with him. That's why we die and our body die. But here is the story. I will give you a new spirit. Who is the source of the new spirit? Listen to the verse. I will turn to the next one. I hope it. Therefore, another therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Who is the source of the new creation? Being in Christ Jesus. Being inside Christ Jesus. What is your ministry? I will tell you. People searching, what is my ministry? It happens that I am a preacher sometime. It happens I am a teacher sometime. But this is not my ministry. This is my secondary ministry. Do you know what is your primary ministry? Listen to the verse once again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, as we have this ministry. Okay, therefore is related to what? Is a conclusion to what? To what is before. What is before? What is before is comparison between two covenants. The old covenant, one man entering the presence of God in behalf of others. The new covenant, God gave me a new heart and a new spirit, a new creation. This new creation is inside Jesus Christ Himself. So I became in Christ a new creation. This man go inside the Holy of Holies to do what? Somebody can tell? To do what? To serve. To serve God. Would you like to serve God? Enter the presence of the Lord. This is your primary ministry. The last page in your handout. Your primary ministry is not to do what you are doing in the church. If you are doing it, I will tell you a story. My wife said, don't spoil the time. I will tell you a story. I can read her heart. And here we go. Pastor Mike likes to come here to do the announcement to finish the service. But the story is fascinating. I have a man, my mentor, the man who discipled me. He was a Coptic priest. And he came to know the Lord. This Coptic priest, when he came to know the Lord, one day they invited him to, they don't know that he left the tradition from his heart. I don't mean he's continued to be priest till today. But they invited him to speak in a big revival. When he was sitting down preparing his sermon, he was support his sermon by the old fathers of the church. So he was reading one of their sayings to quote it. Do you know what was saying there? If don't speak to the people except if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are out of the Spirit, don't speak. And he was there kneeling in front of his desk in the office upstairs in the church, saying to the Lord, Lord, I need that. I don't understand what that means. But I need not to speak from my own. I like to learn from you. And God began to touch him, and he began to learn from God. Do you know what happened to the life of this man? Thousands over thousands over thousands of nominal Christians came to know Christ in Egypt through this man. Before he left Egypt, he alone in the 70s and the 80s, he baptized 500 people from Islam. Today he has TV ministries that brought millions of Muslims to Christ. This is not exaggeration. It is real. Do you know why? Do you like to do evangelism? This is the rest of the story. When you read how God did the new creation, he said, let light shine. Let light come from darkness. New creation. He talked to you today. Maybe you are sitting here and you are doubting if you are a child of God or not. Let the Holy Spirit tell you in your heart. Be light in your heart. You will have a new creation. Then, you stay in the presence of God. Do you know what will happen? He will take this word. This word is word written by ink in papers. It is real. Yes, I know it is the word of God. We don't worship papers. But one day, one verse, God will do, the Holy Spirit will do something unique. He will take this verse from this and tell it to you. In your inner heart, do you know what will happen? It will transform you. The Holy Spirit will take it and write it into a heart of, do you remember? A heart of what? A heart of flesh, not a stone. Do you see? A heart of flesh. And he will write it. It will happen in your life. You will believe it and it will happen in your life. What is that? Shining in you. The glory of God shining in you. You go out of the presence of the Lord from your primary ministry. You speak ordinary words which everybody can tell. It's not good preacher or bad preacher. Everybody can tell. But when God announces it in you, it is not coming from a book in your hand. It's not coming from information. You study it on the internet or you study. It's coming from where? From out of the presence of the Lord. What will happen? It fits the need of the people who listen. And those who are not saved will be saved. And this is evangelism. But this is your secondary ministry. What is your primary ministry? To be in the presence of the Lord, prayer. It is the experience of Elijah in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17 when he met Ahab. It's the same of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 15 14 to 16. God restored him to stand in my presence. God is not interested in your money. Although Pastor Mike will announce opposite to that. God is not interested in your ministry. Although we need your ministry, God is interested in you. You personally. God is interested in you to put a new heart in your heart. To give you a new spirit from him. To dwell in you so you will enter his presence every day. See his glory. He will write his laws. He will write his, he will script in your flesh, heart of flesh, his word. It will happen in your life. You will go out, tell the people about it. They will believe you. Do you know why the people don't believe you? Because you told them the story which you are doubting. The story which you are asking about. Go to the presence of the Lord. Listen to him personally. Allow him to write in your heart. Go out and speak it. It will happen. And you will see it with your eyes. What prayers are you praying? When we will bow our heads for prayers now. What prayer? Please, if you are not sure that you have the new heart, don't leave this room. Ask for a new heart. Forget about your history. Ask for a new heart. Ask for a new spirit. But if you are a child of God, really, you know that you are. What are you doing with the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in your new creation? Are you meeting with Him? How many times per day? Endless time. The rest of my life is for you, Jesus. Let us bow our head in prayers. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for every brother and sister in this room. I thank you for every one of them. Lord, your word is alive. Your word can change our hearts and our minds. Your word is true. Work in our hearts. I believe in you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.